This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
A warning, this podcast contains explicit language. Olivia Rodrigo's debut album, Sour, was one of the biggest hits of 2021. Now she's back with a new record called Guts, which has already spawned two hits with Vampire and Bad Idea, right? I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we are talking about Olivia Rodrigo's new album, Guts, on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Joining me today is Ana Maria Sayer, one of the hosts of Alt Latino from NPR Music. Hey, Ana Maria.
Hey, Stephen. How's it going?
It is going well. Also with us is culture critic and reporter Serena Toros. Hey, Serena.
And Eternal Girl. Hey, Stephen.
It is great to have you both here. So Olivia Rodrigo became a star on the strength of her very first single, Driver's License, which came out just before her 18th birthday. But Rodrigo was already an industry veteran thanks to her work on several TV series for the Disney Channel and Disney Plus. Rodrigo's debut album, Sour, proved to be a massive success. Driver's License, Good For You, Deja Vu, and Traitor were all top 10 hits, and Rodrigo went on to win three Grammys, including one for Best New Artist. Now she's back with a new album called Guts, which came out last week. The album sharpens her sound, which is inspired by a lot of pop and punk music, as well as singer-songwriters like Taylor Swift. Let's actually hear a little bit of the song Vampire. Okay, Ana Maria, I'm going to start with you. What do you think of Olivia Rodrigo, and what do you think of Guts?
Ugh, I mean, Stephen, I feel like you noting just before her 18th birthday releasing Driver's License right there, it's just like, I need a consistent reminder to understand how young she is, because her bare-bones songwriting capability is so beyond where she's at. I think she grew even more on the second album. It took me a few listens, I will admit. I wasn't like immediately struck over the head loving the record. But now the more time I spend with it, the more I'm struck by like, she's yelling, but it's a subtle subversion to me of what is the way that we expect a teenage girl to package their emotions and put it into an album. I think that she so beautifully does the heartbreak along with the expression of her fears and her pain and her anxiety and all of these things. And like sonically, it just made so much sense to me on the album, the way that she chose to kind of like play with what people would even call like the vintage pop punk sounds in the way of the early 2000s, but also like really embody them and make them her own. It does not feel as though she's playing with trend or she's playing with something that, you know, people are expecting from her. I think she really chose these sounds because they do speak to her and feel like an authentic way to express what she's going through right now, not only as a teenager, but as the very specific person that she is. I mean, everything she expresses on this record feels so Olivia specific. No one else really knows what it feels like to be in this position, save, I don't know, maybe Billie Eilish a few years ago. And I think she, in the way that Billie did as well, like, does really authentically talk about the feelings of being Olivia Rodrigo right now. And that is what sang true to me, is just the honesty of this record and how she was completely unapologetic of talking about those things.
Now, to clarify, Olivia Rodrigo is 20. She is not currently a teenager, but this, there's definitely being a teenager is still a theme on this record.
You know, I think we're all teenagers until we're at least probably 30. So,
I mean, I am currently 51 years old and I related to some of them. How about you, Serena?
Yeah, to build off what Ana Maria is saying here about how distinct and clear her vision is, you know, famously, my criticism of Harry Styles was that the instinct to guess what artist, song, genre he was pulling from was larger than his own vision as a songwriter. And I know it's really popular to compare Olivia Rodrigo to Taylor or to Lorde or whatever pop rock of the 90s, 2000s. But I'm a huge fan of all that music, and I don't think she's a substitute for any of that, and vice versa. I think that she is bringing something unique to all of these songs. I think if you took a Taylor fan whose favorite song was Dear John and made them listen to Logical, I think they'd be like, that doesn't sound anything like Taylor. You know, for me, what was so impressive about this second album is I think we got this idea of Olivia Rodrigo as somebody with this big Broadway-esque voice, you know, like she can really hit a high note, and she is this incredible balladeer. But here she is going into more of the vocal stylings of rock artists. It felt like she picked up a manual and flipped through like 30 years of rock star machinations, and she was like, okay, I'm gonna have fun with all of this. That was the thing that struck me most. Is she just sounds like she is having a ton of fun, you know? She has this real tongue-in-cheek, self-deprecating sense of humor. And the way that she turns a phrase, like the way that she does the pre-chorus in Bad Idea, right, is so funny. Now I'm getting in the car, wrecking all my plans. I know I should stop, but I can't. And I told my friends it was asleep, but I never said where in his sheets. And I pull up to your place on the second floor, and you're standing smiling at the door. And I'm sure I've seen much hotter men, but I really can't remember when. My brain goes, oh. That is something that is missing from the conversation when we want to compare her to Taylor Swift, which I think is really just coming out of this instinct to be like, who is the biggest piano and guitar songwriter of the last 10 years? Because that's really a mode of pop star that has gone away since hip hop became like the dominant commercial genre in the US. And, you know, I think this album, Guts, stands on its own two legs.
I agree with you completely. I think there is a temptation when we talk about Olivia Rodrigo to really pick apart the influences. And you mentioned, Serena, the experience of listening to the Harry Styles record and like picking apart like, okay, what ingredients is this song made of? And I definitely found myself doing that with Olivia Rodrigo songs. Like Bad Idea, Right? Feels like it's drawing a little bit from Wet Leg. There are a couple of songs on Sour where she wound up having to retroactively give songwriting credits to Paramore and to Taylor Swift, because the songs were so clearly interpolating the style of the artists in question that, like, she wound up, like, legally speaking, having to acknowledge that influence. And so I think Olivia Rodrigo's music really lends itself to that kind of, like, archaeologically speaking, go through and tag every ingredient for what influence it represents. But I think that it is, as you kind of say, it's missing the forest for the trees, because the sum of these parts is its own distinct thing. It does distinctively sound exactly like Olivia Rodrigo. It has some of the elements of a persona where it is specific to her and yet universally relatable. And that is something that is a real struggle for giant pop stars to pull off. And I think she pulls it off throughout this record with great technical skill, but also warmth and humor and a little bit of slyness and silliness. There's a line in Get Him Back that I wanted to touch on. Let's actually hear it.
I wanna get him back. I wanna make him really jealous. Wanna make him feel better.
You're getting such a funny, playful, exuberant examination of romantic ambivalence. Just the song title alone, Get Him Back, you've got the double meaning of like, I want him back and I also want revenge. And I want to meet his mom and tell her her son sucks is a really, really funny line that is also like just in those few words, like, perfectly conveying everything that song is trying to get across at the same time that it's extraordinarily catchy. And I just think, I think it's really easy for critics, and I count myself in that group, to sort of say like, okay, Olivia Rodrigo is an artist made entirely of spare parts. She's a mosaic of ingredients from other artists' music, other artists' songs. First of all, most musicians are. Mm-hmm. And second of all, that is really giving short shrift to how clever this songwriting is throughout this record.
Yes. I don't know what it is about the temptation to look at her music and just connect the dots. I think it's almost her own dynamism that is her own like weakness in that way, or at least it's the thing that makes people gravitate towards doing that because she so seamlessly incorporates so many influences. She is an absolute wizard of a lyricist, I think, and a songwriter. And so I think she's so able to pull in influences in a way that really makes sense and feels authentic and honest to her, that it's like, we want to take away some of the power of the work by being like, well, she's so young. And I don't think we would do this with an older artist or maybe a male artist in the same way that we do, because we want it to make sense. We want it to make sense why she's able to do this so well. And I think that's part of the underlying cause of why we start to draw these lines.
Yeah. Let me just like scrub up and give this a medical diagnosis. I think it is exactly what you're saying, Ana Maria, here. And it's funny, I don't want to keep making comparisons to other women who have been pop stars, but it did really remind me of what I wrote about Lorde a couple years ago when I was making the argument that she was like one of the most important musicians of the 21st century. If I can just like be self-indulgent, I might quote myself right here.
Do it.
Lorde's ability to tell these stories at her young age speaks less to her as an unprecedented figure and more to the fact that we've been ignoring young women's voices for far too long. And wisdom and youth are not inherently opposite. And I think it's sad to me that 5 years later, this is still the case. And I do think it's that people want to take something away from her. They can't accept that somebody at the age of 19, which I presume she was when she was writing these songs, now she's 20, could write with this sort of humor and sharpness and intelligence. They want to think it's not true. So they want to be like, she's just ripping off somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then also, I think it's the fact that these major labels and record labels have gotten so stingy with IP, and now there's a whole cottage industry out of recycling old songs and getting money off of, you know, interpolations.
Well, I wanted to break down, like, they're kind of, in a sense, are two different kinds of Olivia Rodrigo songs. And sometimes she combines them within an individual song. But generally, you can kind of slot Olivia Rodrigo's songs into bangers and ballads. That you've got your massive anthems, like Bad Idea, Right, I think falls into this category. I think Ballad of a Homeschooled Girl falls into this category of just like big, big raucous anthems. But then you have the kind of quieter, more singer-songwriterly reflections. Do you guys have a preference? Do you think that she is sharper in one area or another? Or do you think that she's equally adept at both?
You know, I kind of am inclined to say that the ballad area is really where she shines in just her natural capability as a person who can sit down at a piano and just crank out like a really well-crafted song. I think, if anything, for me, like the production on some of those more ballady songs fell a little bit flat for how strong her songwriting ability is. Like, I think that for this second record, no shade to Dan Nigro, who is her songwriting partner and produces on her record. But like, she could have brought in some more producers like to really help that songwriting ability shine. I think that, as you put it, the banger side of things, like that is her just play. Like, to me, that is her just like, I'm gonna really just mess around and have a good time and have fun and really express myself in a way that feels like something that will stick with people. And I think that's why I love the pairing of the two together, because to me, it's almost like her preempting criticism about her play side of the record. It's almost her like, I'm going to express myself and go full force on some of these rock moments or these punkier moments. And I'm also going to give you the heartbreak ballad that you're expecting from me. And all of these things are Olivia. They're all equally as Olivia and authentic to me in the way that I need to express myself. So I really love the pairing of the two, but they also feel like they occupy two really unique spaces on the record.
I would echo that and say, I think the appeal to me is the duality and the way that it is allowed to exist together. Because I think 10 years ago, she would have been forced to pick a lane. She would have been forced to pick, like, do you want to be the heartfelt piano ballad girl on the radio? Or do you want to be, well, actually, I don't know that you'd get a rock girl on the radio even 10 years ago, which is sad. But I think of a song like All American Bitch, which works for me because she is playing with these two sides of herself. She's got like the very like cutesy Laurel Canyon finger-picked verses. And then she goes full like Riot Girl on the chorus. She is of an age where those things aren't opposites anymore. It makes total sense to me that both of these lineages live in Olivia and her music, especially because her songwriting partner and producer, Dan Nigro, and he comes from an emo background. He was in a band called As Tall as Lions.
As Tall as Lions, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Guts ends with a really beautiful ballad called Teenage Dream. And Anna Maria, I know you wanted to talk about that song.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I kind of want to end on highlighting the way that she ends with that beautiful track, Teenage Dream. I just felt like it really encapsulated this moment for her and the fact that she, first of all, just the way that she writes into that song, the subtle production that really shines with the piano and the strings that come in. It's really a beautiful embodiment, I think, of how she is working on this record to really talk about what is relevant and important to her. I'll blow out the candles, happy birthday to me. Got your whole life ahead of you, you're only 19. Even the ways that she shows up can be a little bit messy. It's not perfect, it's not polished. It's not necessarily everything we want to hear her talking about all of the time, but it's the things that she needs to say, and she's saying them in exactly the way she needs to express them, whether it's with intensity or even a little bit of naiveness. I don't know, but it just rings really, really beautifully authentic Olivia, and it's really fun to jam out to.
She gives us this full circle moment because she starts Sour, the song Brutal, saying, I'm so sick of 17. Where's my fucking teenage dream? And so here she's giving it to us. Here's her teenage dream. This is just a perfect album about what it feels like to stand in the world in 2023 as a young woman. To become famous is to know that something bad is going to happen. Mm. And to be a young woman is really the same thing. And I felt like this album is just really about the expectations that people put on young people, young women, famous young women, and the double standard that she's outlining here about she's so good for her age. Mm. She's so good for a girl. And I self-identified at the top of the podcast as an eternal girl. This album resonates with me because I still feel like that teenage girl. And I think in some ways that is an internal thing where those memories are so resonant with us throughout our lives. But it's also this idea that we're never allowed to grow up, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can be a girl until you're a mom, and you can be a young woman, but you can never be a woman. And I really think that Olivia Rodrigo is giving us this thesis statement on how hard it is to grow up in a society that doesn't let women be women.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think it's a great record. And I'm delighted that we got to all get together and talk about it. We want to know what you think about Olivia Rodrigo's new album, Guts. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Serena Toros, Ana Maria Sayer, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Liz Metzger and edited by Mike Katziff. Our supervising producer is Jessica Reedy. Hello, Come In provides our theme music. Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.